The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, I was just looking at the new prayer that has been published for Pesach cleaning. Have you come across this one?
Yeah, I saw it as a headline. I didn't actually look at the prayer. maybe because I'm not doing that much cleaning. But but that aside, yes, I believe that there's a prayer for Pesach cleaning.
I thought most people would be praying that they don't have to clean for Pesach.
Exactly, exactly.
But this is, yeah, this has been published by Rabbi Shmuel Eliyahu, who's the chief rabbi of Tzfat, and he's composed this new prayer, which is apparently to be recited before you start cleaning your home for Pesach.
You know what?
You shouldn't say it if you're just cleaning it not for Pesach.
You know, so here's the thing, Anthony. What I find, you know, no disrespect to rabbis, but they liked to add prayers. Which of them
should
ever take one away? Have you noticed that?
Well,
they're always adding. Everything gets longer and longer and longer, but nobody takes anything away.
Well, everybody wants to stamp.
Yes, that's fine.
Stamp their name on it.
I think the deal needs to be, if you're going to add one, you take one away.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that someone would be famous in future generations for having deleted prayers? Do you think that that'll probably put them into their annals of history?
Well, I'm hoping
history?
That it's not fame that they're after, but that's a whole different conversation.
That is unfortunately the case. Yeah, and before we get into talking about some of the other things, just an interesting piece that came out of Moscow yesterday. We spoke about the fact that Gabi Ashkenazi has been meeting his Russian counterpart, Sergei Lavrov. 30 years of diplomatic relations between Russia and Israel are being marked this year, which I had to think about a little bit because given that, you know, Israel has been in existence now for more than 70 years, it was a little surprising for me that there have only been diplomatic relations for 30 years with Russia. Does that surprise you? Does that come as a little bit of a surprise?
Yeah, wow.
But anyway, there was a lot of, you know, positivity coming out of that meeting yesterday, where Gabi Ashkenazi was thanking the Russians for trying to assist in locating the remains of Israeli soldiers who are missing in action, including the Israeli spy Eli Cohen, also the remains of other soldiers, which we don't know about. Where they are, where the place of rest is right now. And also, it seems as though we have something of a friend in Russia where the International Criminal Court investigation is concerned, because it seems as if the Russians are not that inclined to support what the International Criminal Court is up to at the moment. In Lavrov's words, Russia is rather negative about the International Criminal Court. So I think that that's good news for Israel, although it's not quite clear what influence that will have over events at the International Criminal Court.
Yeah, interesting indeed. The Israel High Court of Justice yesterday overturned a government decision to limit the number of Israelis allowed to travel in and out of Israel. Why was this overturned?
Well, the High Court President, Esther Chayot, said that these restrictions, in her words, violate the basic constitutional right to enter and exit Israel and other rights at the core of the democratic fabric of life. Those were the words used by the president of the Israeli High Court of Justice yesterday when they decided that the restrictions on Israelis entering more about entering Israel rather than about exiting Israel, but it applies in both directions, decided that that was unconstitutional, even though Israel doesn't have a constitution, and that the restrictions must end on Saturday, which of course gives 3 days before the elections, which are due to take place on Tuesday. We understand that there are thousands of Israelis who have actually been unable to return since restrictions were imposed in late January due to COVID issues. And also, of course, it's impacted on people who want to come back to Israel to vote, whether they be people who are temporarily out of Israel right now on a holiday or a business trip or whatever they're doing, as well as Israelis who actually don't live in Israel anymore, live abroad for whatever reason, but would like to come back to vote in the elections. And it's quite a thing because Israelis don't have the opportunity to vote via a postal vote if they're not living in Israel. So there are there is a thing that Israelis who live abroad come back to vote during elections, or they've been forced to come back a lot more frequently in recent years than was the case in the past. So, of course, the Ministry of Tourism and Transport has responded in the form of the Minister of Transport, Miri Regev. She's responded to this particular judgment by relaxing the rules, not only about the number of people entering Israel, but also relaxing the rules in terms of what distance people need to have between themselves when traveling on flights in and out of Israel. That has all been relaxed, and also just addressing the issue of how people should be treated when they have been vaccinated and when they have not been vaccinated. And there will be tests, there will continue to be tests conducted in at Ben Gurion Airport for people who have not been vaccinated. They will have to undergo a test right away at the airport in order to check whether or not they might be carriers of COVID or might be ill from COVID. So there are a lot of changes going on at the moment. Of course, some reservations expressed by the Ministry of Health about what this might do to infection rates in Israel. That's all a little unclear. I suppose we'll have to see in due course. But at least for now, as of Saturday, there will be quite a dramatic increase in the number of people coming through the airport. Probably, I'm expecting something like 6,000 to 8,000 people per day, as opposed to the 3,000 limit that had been imposed up until now.
So I guess it's just one step closer to Israel returning to a little bit more normal. A test was conducted in the Israel city of Hadera for the coordination of a drone delivery flight. What happened during this test?
We know that drones have become more of a thing, and we discussed the use of drones for warfare purposes, for protection, for security, and also for attack. But one of the things that's been long discussed about the use of drones is potentially using a drone delivery service. And I've seen some of these tests conducted in the US where, you know, they're trying to get drones to deliver parcels literally to your doorstep without the need to be sending people and looking for parking and things like that. And, of course, drones not having to negotiate traffic jams. And in the Israeli city of Hadera yesterday, town of Hadera, I don't think Hadera is a city, I think it's a town, there were delivery drones flying around yesterday as the national authorities decided to test a central control room for safely coordinating drones with each other as they head about their business of making deliveries to private homes and to businesses around the city, around the town of Hadera yesterday. Of course, they are cheap. They're easy to operate. They come directly to your door very, very quick indeed. And it was interesting that these drones are seen as a potential for delivering pizzas as well as potentially delivering prescription drugs, or just simply delivering your Amazon parcels, if that's what you've ordered. But obviously there is an issue once you have more than a few drones around a certain area that they could potentially have mid-air collisions that could cause casualties on the ground. So the Israeli authorities are now trying to work out whether there might be some sort of a central control facility that will dictate where these drones can and cannot fly, almost like, I suppose, the Civil Aviation Authority that controls the airspace above various countries to try to make sure that planes are coordinated in the way that they move about and that they don't interrupt each other's flight paths and potentially cause danger to people on the plane and, of course, to people on the ground. So similar tests are now being conducted for drones. And this is a two-year project test phase, which was launched in January of this year. And yesterday was the first live trial that was actually conducted. There were five private firms that flew drones crisscross runs, which were designed to try to test the responses of a control room that was located in Haifa, more than 50 kilometers away from Hadera, to try to keep the drones. Apparently, there were 20 drones up in the air at any one time. They had to maintain a distance of no more than 120 meters off the ground, but no less than 60 meters from each other in order to make sure that there wasn't any danger of mid-air collisions. So apparently, this is becoming a real thing. Commercial drones for delivery purposes. It seems as if, though, according to the expectations, this is not expected to really see the light of day properly until probably another 2 years from now. There would need to be a lot of legislation and still quite a lot more testing to go on before drones will become part of our regular skyline services, skyline view that we see from our windows. But I can really see this becoming more of a thing. I don't know whether in South Africa this would be something that would work well. But I think here in Israel, this could really become a proper delivery service and a very effective one.
Yeah, I actually read an article some time ago that in San Francisco, literally two drone stations could mean delivery for anybody within 5 minutes, just depending on depending on where the drone stations are placed. So there's no doubt that this is going to become much more of a thing. I can't tell you how it's going to work in South Africa or not, and what our specific nuances are here. But there's no doubt. Obviously, security in Israel being one of the major factors.
Yeah, and also finally, we might actually be able to get a pizza that's still hot by the time it gets to your front door.
Yep, for life altering indeed. All right. The other story, of course, that I wanted to chat to you about was the election. And I see that that soldiers, IDF soldiers, have already begun casting their votes in the upcoming general election. What provisions are made for soldiers to vote, Anthony?
So, of course, soldiers, like everybody else, have absolutely the right to vote. And voting stations are set up at all of Israel's major military bases, and indeed mobile voting stations are taken out to allow soldiers who are based in the field to cast their votes as well. So this is a facility that the army is pretty good at coordinating to allow all IDF soldiers to cast their vote in the election. This year, they've been allowed to start voting a little sooner than has been in the case in the past. In fact, in the past, most of those votes have been cast either just the day before the general election day or on the day itself. Now, of course, we've already started the process yesterday. And I think that that's because there is some concern about how the vote counting is going to go with so many different new provisions being made in order to accommodate people who are either in quarantine or COVID-related issues. And I think there are going to be just so many more ballot boxes to collect in from all over the place. And of course, the soldiers' ballots generally in all previous elections have been quite late in coming in. I remember people saying, well, you know, election results are in. All we're waiting for now is the final vote from the soldiers. And that generally has taken an extra day or two until they finally come in, and has ironically also had something of an impact on the election. We often see that by the soldier votes coming in, one seat moves in this direction or that direction according to the influence that is presented by the votes from the soldiers. So those votes have now begun. The voting process has begun, which really signals an official kind of starting moment for the general election. At the moment, you know, all of the parties are doing their final run-in, their final campaigning. It's been interesting to watch particularly the whole Naftali Bennett story, because there are many people who feel that he will most likely enter into a coalition with the Likud, with Prime Minister Netanyahu. I have a slightly different view, and it was interesting that Prime Minister Netanyahu yesterday was trying to encourage those people who would otherwise vote for Naftali Bennett to instead vote for the Smotrich party, because he feels that Smotrich is more likely to support the Likud rather than Naftali Bennett, whose position seems to be unclear. And also, it seems as if the electorate to which Naftali Bennett could also potentially vote for Bezalel Smotrich for his religious Zionist party instead, and feel that they're still voting for a modern Orthodox leader, modern Orthodox party, and Smotrich is likely to support the Likud. So it seems as if, though, Prime Minister Netanyahu is also of the view that Naftali Bennett may not sit very comfortably within a coalition led by the Likud. Those are really the latest matters on the election front, of course, all of the major leaders doing whatever they can to get out into the public eye, to make themselves felt, to make their message, to get their message home as much as they can. I think it would be fair to say that the vast, a very significant number of Israelis sitting today at home still are not quite sure who they're going to vote for. I think many of them will decide on the day on Tuesday. I think there's going to be a potential massive swing vote, and I think all of the parties recognize that and therefore are in overdrive right now to try and influence that undecided electorate.
It's going to be an interesting few weeks ahead. It's just gone 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, this is Where We Love and Leave You. I hope you have a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we will, of course, be back with you on Monday morning. It's